Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paul. I am so blessed that you have joined us this morning. Let us share a morning worship together. We are looking at let's see, it has lost us. Excuse me. The tab of this morning. Looking at the book of John, reflecting on Jesus in crisis, realizing that the answer in today's society of violence and fear is Jesus. There really is nothing under the sun, even though Overseer has to make sure she is alive. Amen, amen, amen. I hope that you have been blessed. It's actually our last Friday in the month of September. It has really gone by. And we have definitely been blessed with the weather, with life, with the graciousness of God. The fact that he loves us. And he is calling us, deep call unto the deep. Amen, amen. Amen.
Live.
Amen.
Amen. I just so hate when the static comes at the part of the song where we're just reminded of some things that need to start our day off, reminded of some things that have been done for us, reminded of some truth about us that should eliminate all fear and hate and violence that might be lurking in our hearts in those hidden places. When we realize that it was at the cross where our life received the hope that only a God of glory could give, and then giving honor to that God of glory, and then remembering to always place him in the center of our lives. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, be brought back to a remembrance of the cross, at the cross, what happened at the cross seemed like such a negative day of failure and sadness and over grief and sorrow and hate and violence and hate. That's what happened at the cross from one side of view. But we're looking from the God side of view. From the God side of view, love ran red. There was a love that flowed to the earth from the vein and blood and shedding that our Savior did because of a love that is so beyond our understanding. This is the truth that will make us free. We're looking at the question of truth. The question of truth. And when I first saw that, I thought, why is truth a question? And yet, it was the question that Pontius Pilate asked Christ. What is truth? Is there really a truth? It was a, what do they call it, a rhetoric type question. He was really making a statement dismissing the God of truth, because he wasn't willing to surrender his power to the truth of God. But as Christians, we need to look at the example that Christ placed before us, and he made truth question power. We make power question our truth. So we've switched the thing, and again, the enemy has distorted our view by injecting these, they call them narratives, into our mind and into our thinking by giving such a way to questions such as, well, what is really true? Who is to say? By whose standard are you expressing this view and then giving it the value of supreme guidance in your morals and in your life and in your heart and in your mind and in your thinking? And yet, we have to remember that is his job, is to deceive us. And there are voices that we hear in our head. There's a book that says there's four. There is the voice of the flesh, the voice of the world, the voice of the devil, and then there is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so when the question arises, what is truth? We need to look at the motive behind the words that are being peddled to us as truth or reality. And if their source is not that that sounds like the voice of Holy Spirit, because it's in harmony with the Word of God, because it reflects Jesus Christ, who in John says, I am the truth, and I am the way, and I am the light. So he made it very clear what truth is. Truth is him. And so if it is not in line with him, then it is not the voice that we should follow, nor Is it a truth that will maintain our relationship? Because truth is relationship. It is your relationship to either the devil, yourself, the world, or God. And that's what we have to look at. We have to question what we do think and how we feel, our attitude, our thought process. We need to question it against the truth. And so the author starts in this fourth chapter with the question of truth. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So we look at quite a few words there. First is know, it's truth, it's make, and then it's free. So depending on what you understand in those terms will depend on where your life will emulate from. Will it emulate from the standard the world has given, the voice of the world, the voice of the they? The author sets a very interesting scenario when he talks about the they being those in power, just as Pontius Pilate was in power, just as Trump is in power, or any other ruler of a great nation. And so often, if it is anything that will jeopardize their place and position of power, even if it might be true, they will then attack it. They will distort it. They will deny it. They will give it terms and phrases that cause you to question fake news, alternative truths, different things that we hear those in power say, because their desire is to make truth fit their power. And when it doesn't, they don't want us to have it to attack their power. But Jesus had no problem attacking his power with truth. And so as he shares with us, and as he shared with Pontius Pilate, Pilate may have meant the question rhetorically to imply that there's no such thing as an objective truth. But we need to ask the question earnestly and literally. Early in John's gospel, in the 8th chapter, in the 32-4, Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So here we have in our relationship a guide to truth, and that guide is Christ. That guide is, the truth is Christ. And in our relationship, that which is truth will stand as it emulates what Christ has taught, said, how he walked, how he responded, and the heart that he had to value the relationship he had with the Father. So since in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and then he became flesh on earth so that we might know God. And in knowing him and knowing Christ, then we know God, because he says that which he does, he gets from the Father, and he gives it to us so that we might know the Father and how their relationship is. And because of that truth being revealed to us through Christ, then thereby we will know the truth. And he said, just in case you may think that there may be a loophole that the enemy can slip in, I'm going to send you a helper, and he is the God of truth. He will reveal all truth to you. So now you have, you're in Christ, and then in you is the Holy Spirit of God, which will lead you to all truth. So truth is something that you have to journey towards. I thought it was very interesting that in the 23rd Psalms it says, and he'll lead you in the path of righteousness. That path of righteousness is the right way of responding to the world and the earth and to you and to all of God's creation, based on the way that the way and the truth and the light has shown us. and that becomes that path of righteousness. And we're led down that path of righteousness. Just as Holy Spirit will lead us to all truth, it is in order, we're leading down that path, he said, righteousness for his name's sake. So this is all done because of the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ. So this path of righteousness that we're being led down, this is where he says, don't go left, go right. Don't go right, go deep. Turn and go hither. Do not do that. He's leading us in the path of righteousness, and that righteousness leads to the truth, which leads to the knowing of God, which leads to freedom. So how does that make me free? Well, the powers that be would like for you to be captivated and enslaved by lies, enslaved by fake news, enslaved by truths that are power-driven and not Holy Spirit-driven. Because as long as he can get us enslaved in those truths, then we do not have a sense of stability, because there's no sense of stability in the world. Things change. One law is a law today, maybe a law on this side of the street, not a law on the other side of the street. And so there is nothing stable in it. There's nothing solid in it. It really is sinking sand, because it doesn't hold life's answers on a consistent, powerful, and tried and true basis. It only shows, actually, the error of a manufactured power. The only true power is that power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that power that we get through the Holy Spirit. And so we often feel like, well, that was Christ, and then this is me, and I'm just human. But I love that, because he said, I became human so that I can have compassion on you and intercede for you, because I've been there, done that, and I've overcome. And so I've done that so that you will know the truth, and it will set you free. And that truth is, you have overcome too as well. You know, I'm still human. You may be human, but you have a promise that God gave you, that all things pertaining to holiness, he has supplied for you. So we've gone through a lot of books that have revealed a lot of truths. I thought about the grip of grace and the surrender, the absolute surrender, the 23rd Psalm, the secrets of the vine. When we just look at the books that we have gleaned truth from, we came to know him in the seventh flow of spirit of the Holy Spirit. We came to know God through the secrets of the vine, and through abiding in the vine being Jesus Christ. And in that association, in that presence, in that connection, we were given knowledge and truth and understanding and wisdom and counsel and might and strength from the God of glory, from the word, from the truth, and from the light, from the way, that way of righteousness. And that way of righteousness is a way of holiness, but it is also a way of joy. It is a way of peace, and it is a way of hope. And as we walk in the path of righteousness, there are people that are going to see you. I read in one of the commentaries the fact that if you're on the straight and narrow road, then you're not alone, and you're not lonely, and you're a place of joy. And when you think about being in a crowd of people trying to get somewhere, and like on Christmas time, and you go to the store trying to get that one value, and you fight people, you bumping people, you definitely not social distancing group people. Okay, that's not the most ideal scenario. The ideal scenario is to go and be able to, oh, I can walk right in, walk right up to what I want, and then walk to the register and check out as though I am the queen of the day. And that's what that is when we walk in his way and in his righteousness in and on that narrow path. And so there's so many truths. Now, that's a truth. But then we get to the point, what do we really believe? There was a section on a lot of things that we share in the ministry. What do you believe? And we are very quick to, oh, I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Do you really believe that? And if you believe that he is the Son of the living God and he died for you, you should have such a high value of your worth. You should not settle for anything if you truly believe. Now, we understand that you will know him and you, it will make you free. So you'll get free from those lies of the enemy. And you got to get there, but in order to get there, you got to obey, you got to trust, and you have to believe. One of the things of healing, the five areas of healing in whatever place we find ourselves as we're walking and being led down the path of righteousness is time and affirming relationships, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, but above all, honesty. Honesty. So you have to be honest in your heart. Do you stand before the throne of God really thinking you're somebody because you think you're somebody? And because the Bible said come boldly, but it also says come boldly in Christ. Because we can't stand before God unless we're in Christ and he is interceding for us. And then that gives us our place of presence in the presence of God. Our position at the table of God is in Christ. But we have left him out and went on our own feeling that we're that and all of that because we have this powerful anointing because people are blessed. They're slain in the spirit. They're brought to truth and all these things. He said, Lord, Lord, but you haven't done what I told you to do. And that's the return to your first love. That's me. Put me first. Put me out there. Bring me in whatever situation you're in. And when you do, you won't murmur and complain. When you do, you can't see anything but the blood running red from the cross. You can only see the victory that was won for you and given to you as a gift from my Father. You would only see that which your heart should be grateful for and humbly submit it to. And that voice should be the only one you choose to hear. We're talking about sound. So what sound, not only are you hearing, what sound are you making? Are you making the sound of abundance? Are you making the sounds of intimacy in the presence of God? Or are you sitting at a table, not the table, and you're comparing notes with individuals that are not bringing glory to God, but rather glory to situations and circumstances that were caused by the enemy as a narrative for us to believe it was our truth when it was not. It is a lie. That's why we can't walk by sight. We must walk by faith because our eyes have been tainted with the things around us. This is the enemy's territory, so we need a God's eye view. We need to be able to walk by what we know to be true about God, not what we're told is true about our circumstances and our situation. We have to believe the hype of the word, if you will, and not the hype of the world does. And so it is a wonderful, wonderful privilege to know him so that we might be made free. And once we're free, then we're no longer slaves to fear. Fear causes us to be troubled about a thing. And he said, don't trouble your soul. I got you. You know, whatever is you're concerned with, it concerns me. And I've already taken care of it for you. But now do you believe that? Because that's the truth that you have to stand on. So our truths are what we stand morally and economically, socially, and biblically, financially, emotionally. We stand on a truth. But if what we're standing on is a lie of the enemy, And we know those five or four lies, you got to feel, you know, good about yourself in order to feel loved. Or, you know, you should be shame and live in guilt and condemnation. None of those things are our truth. Our truth is the will and the word and the promises of God. So what do we believe? So what is it, a question of truth in today's society? Do we stand for truth? Do we stand God's truth and make the power that are in operation in the world and in our community and in our homes and in our hearts and in our nation answer to the truth of God? Or will we allow the power to give us the narrative that God's truth really doesn't exist? When Jesus said, "I am," now we believe he's the Son of God, the Son of the living God. He is God. Then if that's our truth, then any time any narrative comes before us, we should have the boldness of that truth, because it has made us free and we have no fear to stand up. Stand up against it. No, you're wrong. You tell the evangelicals, you tell, I don't care, the preacher, the pastor, whoever it is, if they're not in harmony with the word of God, then they are wrong. God's word says, thus says the word of God. But now in order to do that, you got to know the word of God. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit to give you the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the counsel of how to go forth with the truth. And so those are the things that we sometimes divorce ourselves from. We got this mission, but we want to do it, oh, I know, this and that, you know. No, we're in Christ, and we know Christ knows. So I give you Christ, and you can't do nothing with him, really. You really can't. You either accept him or reject him, and that would be to your demise. But the truth never changes. And we have stood for it. But how many times do we do that? How many times do we let our brothers and sisters make comments that are just not biblically sound? And we say nothing. Or worse, we agree. You know, I just had such a season of my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And every time, you know, someone said this is hard, you know, and it's like, well, what exactly is hard? The way the transgressions is hard. But he said, you know, when you learn of him, then whatever it is you need to do is going to be easy. And whatever it is you have to carry is going to be light, because he's going to do it. And so I had to keep reconciling in my mind anything that would lift itself up against that. And oftentimes when you share that with people, you know, they don't want to hear that. Okay? And there's times in situations and circumstances in my life, it's like, oh, this is hard. But then when I really look at why is it hard, it's because I'm fighting. It's hard because I don't want to let go. It's hard because I'm losing the battle with my flesh. Okay, it's hard because I'm struggling to straddle the fence and to have what the world say and what God say. Because I want to be in a position that feels comfortable. Someone says covenant is not convenient. Okay, it is God's way and his will, which is nothing like ours at all. And so this is the things that we have to come to a place where we see a truth today, and we have to evaluate, am I standing for the truth of the world, or am I standing for the truth of the word? And then if I'm not sure, then Lord, let me study to show myself approved. Let me study your word, oh God. Let me, I love the Wednesday class, let me meditate on your word, not just study, not just read it, research it, and look for it and memorize it. But Lord, let me meditate on it where the Holy Spirit can marinate it in my heart. He can marinate it in my mind. He can marinate it in my emotions. You know, that's how you marinate, when you marinate a meat, things before you want to consume them, you put all of the pleasant things on it and in it and rub it and dip it in there and cover it in there and sometimes even weigh it down in there to make sure all of the flavors get infused into that food that you want to cook. Okay, well, that's what meditating, marinating on it, let all of the flavors, all of the truths, all of the areas of revelation, let it just soak into our minds and our emotions and our attitudes, and then not leave something out. Because, you know, I love it where there's some kind of thing that you have to do when you marinate. You got to weigh it down to make sure it stays in that liquid, okay, or stays in that marinating. And sometimes we have to weigh it down. We have to weigh it down. We have to weigh it where we are totally submerged. Every area is totally submerged. But oftentimes we want to leave a hand out, or we want to leave a foot out. We may want to leave a head out because we want to see. And it's like, no, you go all the way down. It's like when you're baptized, go all the way down. Get buried so that he can resurrect a new life in you. Like you say, you know, the Bible, and we know he's saying, hi, and love the Lord, we're a new creature in Christ. We don't believe that. You know, so I'm going to be new. We come up with all kinds of, I'm not going to call them excuses, but all kinds of descriptions of where we are. But the important thing is this, the truth that God said was, he will make all things new. So if this is what you believe, then this is what you declare. And as you decree and declare it, then it will come to pass because you've been given this power. And so these are ways that we are learning as we come up hither, as we get closer, and as we're abiding in the presence of God, that we're learning there was a way, but then now there's a more excellent way. And he is calling us to that more excellent way because he is anointing us with his powerful presence. And he's giving us a revelation of the privilege that we have in the destiny that he has laid upon our path. And so this is the path of righteousness that we follow. And it may not be the right path for you, but there is the path of righteousness that Christ said, there is only one way, and I am it. So anything else you want to use, substitute, enhance, however you want to look at, to put in your process to get to where you're going is not going to work because he says, I am the way. I am the only truth that will get you to life. And this is what we want. We want life. Now, the enemy may say we want life, but we want it to look like this. We want it to look like that. And other. Then there's another voice that we're listening to. And that voice is going to lead us in the path of destruction because it's going to destroy the destiny that God has on us when we continue to refuse all that he has given us to bring holiness into our life. And we refuse it. It is a choice. Every day, all day long, we make these choices. We make these choices, conscious, intentional choices. We sometimes just surrender because we don't want to fight. Well, then if we're fighting, then we need to realize, first of all, the battle is not ours. It is the Lord. Listen for the sound of the defeat of the enemy. The sound of the defeat of the enemy sounds like the nails on the cross. That's what defeating the enemy sounds like. And it also sounds like the nails that you need to nail your mess to the cross so that it stays there. You don't go back and get it. And so there's just so many sounds that we can replace in our thinking during our time of dwelling in his presence that will change our perspective of what we see, say, do, think, act, and feel. And then when we will begin to look quite peculiar to the world around us, to the people around us, to the saints around us who are waiting to see the way lived out in the lives of those who say they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Just one thing, That one truth which should change our entire existence. There should be no more fear. There should be no more hate. There should be no more violence. We don't have to fight for anything. And even though I know he says the violent take it by force, but what this violence is not something that we can understand, because this is a holy violence. And when you think about how God won the enemy, the battles with the enemy for the children of Israel, so often they never picked up a stick, okay? But they won because of obedience, trust, and belief. That's how the battle is won. And really, those are three things that God makes it very easy for us to possess. Because first of all, he gives it to us, and then he gives us the strength and the anointing to embrace the gift that he gave us. Then he gives us the wisdom and the counsel and the understanding of how to use it and when to use it. And then he gives us the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ on us, so that once it is put in action, it cannot fail. It cannot fail. And so if you see something and you're viewing it as failure, then stop and listen. Okay, whose voice am I listening to? Whose truth am I using to bring a level of morality or success to this situation? Whose truth am I depending on? Whose truth have I put before me? Because if it is not in line with the Holy Spirit, then it is not the truth that you want to be. It's not a truth, period. Actually, it is a lie. It's fake news, okay? It is the narrative of the devil. The narrative is just a conversation. The devil can talk much smack, and he has people that have that gift and anointing. But then God has us with the Holy Spirit, who gives us the discernment. And it's not something that we nano know. No, it's something that we on our knees trust, faith, believe, and follow. And that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you know that voice by knowing the Word, by being in the Word, by listening to the Word, being taught the Word, meditating on the Word, abiding in the Word, because remember, the Word is Jesus Christ. And there was this awesome movement maybe 10 years ago or so that WWJD, what would Jesus do? And it was a wonderful revival of putting Jesus in your crisis. What would Jesus do? Not just crisis in your everyday life, thinking, walk, conversation, mindset, every word. What would he do? What would he say? And it was such a cute thing. We wore it on a T-shirt, on a necklace, on our banner, on our arms, on our shoes, on our pants, on our skirt, on our dresses. You know, we had this saying, and we said it, and we used it as a colloquialism or something. You know, it was just, you know, oh, what would Jesus do? And yet, it was like, it was such a truth, such a powerful truth being placed in our hands and in our mouth, and we mishandled it. And then we allowed it to fade away. Why on earth would we allow it to fade away? What would Jesus do? That's the only thing that should be fueling our existence. What would Jesus do? And that's how you reclaiming Jesus, putting him back in the center of where he should have never left in our life and in our hearts and in our thinking. And we could love the Lord. We could love the Lord, you know, with almost all our heart, with almost all our strength, with almost all our might. But do we love him with all? With all. That is a phenomenal place to be, as our apostle, where that's her word, phenomenal. It is, because it is an unusual place that can only be gotten there by the supernatural existence and abiding in the vine, in the presence of the living God. And so we want the question of the truth to not be a question for us, but rather it is the prize for us. The truth is the prize. Jesus is the prize. And to win it, if you will, by shouting its victory every time we see it
or standing on its truth and attacking the powers that be with his truth. And then we make his praise glorious. That's when the glory of the Lord will be resurrected out of the earth, because the earth will start to see him being celebrated in the lives of the children of God, in the lives of those that are on the church roll, transforming churches and communities. That's how you transform them, is with Jesus Christ. All the money in the world, all the teaching in the world, all the training in the world, all the police in the world, you know, all the activists in the world, it's not going to make all the guns in the world. Ain't going to make a bit of difference. Not a bit of difference until we do what Jesus would do. And that's a hard thing. There are some things in Scripture that people don't realize that's what Jesus said to do. Love your enemy. What do you mean? Okay, I feel all right with them. No, you got to love them. Love them. Pray for them. It says do good to those that abuse you and use you. There are all of these things that in Matthew, when Christ is giving these teachings, they're looking at him like everything he's talking about sounds like a wuss. You know, don't nobody want to, you hit me, I'm a turn the cheek. Who tells their child they hit you, turn the cheek? No. No, you don't. That means you don't tell them the truth. You tell them to fight back. And you're really putting them in a negative position, because you'll never win when you fight back. You have to do what Jesus would do and then let him step in. Now, it takes a faith and a strength, but that's what Holy Spirit is there. He said, I'll give you all things that you need for holiness. But how many times do we not do that? How many times do we use the way of the world over the will of the Father in our life? He says, if they take your coat, give them your cloak too. If they take you to sue you, give them what you got. Okay. You know, we don't do that. Oh, we're going to fight like the dickens. You know, this is mine. You know, no, it ain't. It really isn't ours. And so those things belong to the Lord. Now, you may have to pray for them because they messing with God's stuff. Okay? Seriously. Okay? And so there's just so many things that we don't celebrate the truth. We don't celebrate the way Christ wanted to be done. You know, he said, blessed are the meek. No one wants to be meek. You know, they want to be strong and virile, and you can't tell me what to do, and you know who I am. And, you know, even when we say, I'm a child of God, but there's a humility that has to come with that, that makes them, you understand, it ain't me you messing with. Now, you messing with the living God, but because I know him, I'm going to pray for you. And that has to really be our heart's cry. But it isn't. When you get in front of me with your car, who you think you are? Well, who do you think you are that you can't be gotten in front of with a car? Okay, because we think more highly of ourselves than we should. He said we would, but he also gave us an answer to that. He said, humble yourself. You know, humble yourself under the hand of the Lord. He told if my people who are called by name will humble themselves. It was such a time in life, and I'm sure in the life of most Christians, where we really thought we were somebody because we were Christians. Not because of Christ, but because we were Christians. And I love that scripture in Psalm 73. When I read it, it changed my life. You know, he said, you going before the Lord, you're a beast before the Lord. You know what a beast is? Something that has got absolutely no culture, no sanity, you know, nothing resembling humanity. It's a beast, wild, untamed, just a beast, a horrible, hideous thing. We are filthy rags, okay? But we have to come to a point where we humble ourselves. We realize, you know what? Oh, my God. What did the prophet say? You know, I am a man of unclean lips. Do you know the many unclean things that's come off of my tongue? I should be burning in hell. And we all should be. But the grace of God. And so that's a place of humility that will not stand haughty. It'll just stand boldness in Christ. Because Christ was the one that went through and did not sin. Christ was the one who went through and overcome so that we can overcome, so he could pull us up out of truly the murk and the miry clay. I used to wonder, what on earth is that? But that's just the filth of sin. Just sucks you in. It's like quicksand. It just sucks you in, and it suffocates you. And he has to pull you out. Anybody that's, I've never been in quicksand, but just looking at it in the movies, you don't get out by yourself. You cannot. It's impossible. And so you realize that you do need someone to rescue you. And that rescuer was Jesus Christ. And he did it. And he did it in such a humble, loving, patient, long-suffering, oh, kind, merciful, gracious way that we in our hearts should just ever be bowed down, worshiping him, learning. How do you do that, Jesus? Lord, Jesus, at his feet, Lord, how do I do that? How do I love like you love? How do I forgive like you forgive? They spat on you. Let somebody spit on you. Oh, my gosh. I don't think so. And don't let the wrong person spit on you. Okay. Then it's on. You know, but Jesus, how did you do that? You know, how did you take that and love? They didn't just take it, you know, just stand strong and take it. He took it and loved them. He took it praying for them. He took it interceding for them because he knew, y'all don't know my daddy. He could send a legion. He don't have to send a legion. Just blink. Y'all be done. Okay? You just don't know my dad. And you don't, you can never understand the love that he has for you. He knew you were going to do this to me. And still he sent me. May make me question, Father, hello? But because the Father and the Son are one, when he sent me, Jesus said, I'll go. Because I know how much we love them. We made them in our image. And we want them in the world we created them for. And Jesus and Christ, well, Jesus the Christ, and God the Father and the Holy Spirit have no problem in reestablishing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we desire to do. So I have just been yakky. So the lines are open. Yep. For you to share insight, inspiration, revelation, questions. I know
over
you're
to you.
Out there. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, it's Pastor Roger. I didn't have the book yet, but what you were just teaching this morning, I could share with the part of the sheep and from the book I'm reading again, and knowing that we do not know how to do anything with our God, and it just let us know what position we are in when he is, when we're following him, how much he loves us, when we're able to do something to help inspire other people, not getting the credit for anything, because it's just like you said, he's an awesome God. And even when we're doing wrong, because we always do, if we're not following him, we're gonna turn to that flesh, and we can be praising God even in the midst of this storm and the crisis that we go through. We can still just look towards the hills from which cometh our help, and it won't be afraid. We know what we are talking about. I just thank God for who he is and what he's revealing to his people. Those that hear his voice, when he said, my sheep hear my voice, no stranger will we follow. So when we know it is the Holy Spirit within us, we won't get the big head. I always call it the big head because of, you know, the babies, when their head was oversized, they would fall over. And sometimes we as people think we have it. And then when you think you got something and you don't know what to do with it, you can shipwreck. So I was just thanking God for what you were saying, your teaching of you said the beast, but that sheep didn't have nothing. That poor sheep just allowed somebody to kill him, and they just going to go bad, 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 saying the same thing. So I just thank God for the revelation that he's given and that we don't have to worry about nothing. So when we do teach our children, turn the other cheek, we can explain to them why. And not only do we teach them, we have to live it. So they'll wonder why we turning the other sheep, because that's what my family does. You just let people walk on you. But it's not allowing people to walk on you. It's praying, like you said, praying for them. When people do you wrong, pray for them, because God already told us, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. So I just thank God that you encouraged me this morning. I've been going through a little bit, but praying, because, you know, when the enemy come at you, you want to hear the word.
Yeah.
And truly, I've been praying, but when you hear somebody else, then you know it's true. So I just thank God for hearing the word from you and knowing that he loved me.
Amen.
If anybody else on the line, you know, we encourage one another when we can give the testimonies because they belong to God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you so much. And this is true. We belong to him. And he does everything to make sure every moment of every day we know this. We feel this. We believe this.
Yes,
anybody
Lord.
Else?
Good morning. When you were speaking on the John 8:32 scripture, and you know the truth and the truth will make you free, it brought back the truth in what we hear and then what we try to make in our way the truth, and to stop that and to hear only his voice, even, and don't go forth until you know what his revelation of the truth is, because then you won't make a mistake. You'll follow in his will and his perfect plan, and you won't dibble and dabble in something that and go in a path that is not of his way. So it was just a good lesson and what you brought out, you know, and I just thank you for your revelations and just giving insight.
Well, bless you, bless you. Always good to hear your voice and know you're out there.
Absolutely.
You know, I see the numbers, and I know whose number is on here, okay? But it's very encouraging. It's encouraging just to hear you say good morning. You know, this is a Friday Fellowship of Learners, and just coming together on one accord, just wanting to celebrate God in our life, to set aside an hour where we view some things that he wants to show us together, and we gleam it together. And as he shares it, it builds us up. It builds us up. It encourages our soul. And like I say, the voices, I love the numbers, but I like hearing the voices as well. So it is a blessing. And, you know, sometimes y'all got to give me opportunity to drink some water so I can cough and spit. Okay. But at any rate, I do appreciate. I really appreciate, and I appreciate those that they just want to listen. They just want to hear. And we want them to hear. We want them to know that we treasure their ears and what they hear. And it is our heart's desire to only give you what God has given us, only give you his truth so that it will enhance and strengthen our walk and our fellowship with one another. So we just thank God for you. We pray that you will continue to enjoy, embrace, know, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that you will enjoy your worship. This is, as I say, coming up the last week in the month of September. And fall has come. It's come gloriously and beautifully. So, you know, Overseer loves this kind of weather.
Yes,
and so
yes.
We do want to. Yes. Direction and revelation from God as to what is in this season. And this is going to be a very, very powerful season. And when you look at all of the changes that have led to this new year over the last 2 years, then be ready. Be ready to need, to embrace, to interject, to definitely, I don't know how to, I don't even know another word for it, but the truth of Christ needs to be put on display in a big way, in a very worshipful, powerful way, because of the things that have been ordained to change, to shift, this paradigm shift, this change in the trajectory of the world, not just this country, but the world. These have been global impact things in the last 2 years, so it must have a spiritual global impact as well.
But he said, don't. Truth has even come basically to challenge the lie of medicine and sickness. And don't let the false news of medicine and sickness distort truth. And I think it, oh, you mean like the truth of the word of God or whatever. He said, no, distort truth. And so, I have to hear personally that truth can stand the challenge against medicine and sickness. But it was just interesting that he kept saying against medicine, and that while medicine medicine has a purpose, but medicine also comes with false news, and truth has come to challenge that.
Amen. Obviously, Apostle, That's what I've been going through, because I had signed the papers for the surgery and radiation, but God said, trust me. And then I was like, oh, God, I want to trust you, but I don't want to be ignorant. And then he said, trust me. And then I'm standing on the word to trust God because what he said for the saints. And then I was checking my other breath, and I felt a knot. Then I was like, Lord, I'm trusting you. Why am I feeling another knot over here? And then I still wouldn't go back. I just said, Lord, I was asked, I said, if I die, I wouldn't answer. I just got to die. But I'll be trusting God. So I examined myself again, and the knot was gone. So I just thank God for what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And that's the release of power. Because remember, the truth is Jesus Christ. And if we say he's healer, then are we believing?
Amen.
Are we believing the truth? And I, just like Apostle said, medicine has its place and the medical field have their place and there are all these things. But we got to make sure it don't take top billing. We must make sure we hear the voice of Holy Spirit and we embrace ministry. And that's not a, I won't say it's not an easy thing, but it's not a hard thing, because once you stop, you believe, you believe. And it's just like a pastor just said, and just like Esther said, if I die, I die. You know, the boys in the Hebrew furnace and the lion's den, you know, whatever, but God is still God. He's real, and I trust and believe him. And that has to be, you know, how we go forward. And it's going to be a time of great sacrifice. That's what they're teaching on Wednesday, you know, but a great sacrifice, but great faith. And they didn't see water. They didn't see rain. But he looked to where the water should have been and said, look again. Don't you sure you don't see it down there? Okay, and then with the real, not eyes, our eyes, but with spiritual eyes, said, I see a hand coming out to sea. Now, that's pretty deep to see a little hand coming out to sea. And they was on top of Mount Carmel. So, but those are the things that we are being called to in this season and in a place of shifting. Shifting, and he said, come up hither. And that's just it. We're coming up hither. And it looks different from this altitude. Amen, amen.
Amen.
So enjoy worship. Meditate. They have a meditating, what do they call it? A little video they did on Wednesday, which was very powerful. And understanding what meditation means. Meditate, and he showed me marinating. We know how we like things to really be very, very flavorful and very satisfied. Well, that's what happens when we meditate. Then the word is in us, and it's very savory. It's very satisfying, and it gives you a joy that really is unspeakable. So we just thank God for you. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Overseer is going to say, have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Blessed day.